thanks.
Good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. We've been out sick for the last couple weeks, and it's good to be here. We thank you for all the prayers. We're going to be reading from a real familiar scripture today, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I think it kind of goes right along with the book of Praying Life. And how many has heard of the acronym SWOT? Raise your hand if you've heard of that, right? So it stands for Special Weapons and Tactics. It's a special elite force in each police department. Yep. So I've kind of changed some of the wording around, and I've got a couple we can use. The Spiritual Warrior Attack Team. Saints with a Testimony.
Right. Yes, sir.
And then Saints Winning Armored Together.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So let's bow our heads before we go to the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings. Lord, and we're just humble to be here and grateful and for all your love and mercy you bring to us and getting us safe here, Lord, to the body of Christ, Lord. And we just invite you, your presence into this place, and let your Holy Spirit just move free among us, Lord, and open our hearts to your word and our ears to be able to hear your voice and our minds to understand, Lord.
Yes.
Give us strength when we're weary, Lord, and comfort those who are hurting. Lord, those who are sick, Lord, you just come down and touch their bodies, Lord. The ones that can't be here, Lord, the ones that are traveling or out sick, Lord, just be with them, Lord, and lift them up. We want you to bless our families and our communities, Lord, and our leaders and our pastor, Brother Wade, Lord, as he
yes.
brings a message, Lord, you just touch him and give him words to speak, Lord, and give us understanding, Lord, and just let a revival begin in our hearts, Lord, and overflow into this church and into our homes, into our workplaces, into our community, Lord. We don't want to leave here the same way we came.
Amen.
We give you all the honor and glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated.
Amen. We appreciate that, Brother Jeffrey. I like that. Saints with a testimony. That's the way you overcome, is by your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Aaron, would you come and lift up the offering this morning?
Lord, I just pray that you bless the offering and the tithes, Lord, that goes from your kingdom. Bless each one in Jesus Christ's name.
And I want to also remind, as Brother Ron said, in between services at 1:15, we'll have the second part of our percussion and tambourine practice, and it went very well last time, and I appreciate everyone that's involved. And, you know, there's just such a unity in praise and worship that pleases the Holy Spirit. And like Brother Anderson said, just remember who you're doing it for. It's not for us. It's not to just show our talents. It's for him. Amen. The worship goes back to him. Amen. Let's sing that song, The Lifeboat. Surely is coming. Amen. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be over. You know, through this life, there's many trials, but through the hard ones and difficult ones, there's a lifeboat called Jesus Christ. We can always hold on to through these moments. Amen. We're floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take alone. The light this last verse again, if they'll pull it back up. I want you to think about this. Oh, now is the time to get on board while she's passing by. That's what's happening now. The gospel is being preached to every corner of the earth.
Amen.
Things are winding up right now. But if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. The fare is paid. If you could realize what that day of Calvary did for you and me, it's paid.
Amen.
And the captain bids you come. Do you feel that tug?
Amen.
Do you feel something, that desire? Brother Branham said the reason you feel that is because your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life and he's calling you. There's a boat that's there, a safety that you can get in. Your friends, your family, and you have the right to the token to call you to get in. And get on board of that lifeboat and she'll carry you safely to that future home where we'll never grow old, we'll never die, we won't have the trials we have here. That's what I desire and I hope you do too. Oh, now the time to get on board while she is passing by.
Forever we roam, the word of God. pray you come today to get your part. Come today, get your part today, because he'll fill you up if you want to be filled. That's what Dwight Moody said. He said, God will fill those who are not full of themselves. So let's get rid of self, and let's listen to him today. So God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us today. By way of just a few of announcements, your brother Ryan has covered most of them. But Brother Luis will be speaking for us this coming Wednesday night. Communion and foot washing will be next Sunday. Thank y'all all for the ones that came to Deanna's party yesterday and that gave her gifts for her birthday and graduation. We sure appreciate that. And we had another small graduation that we didn't recognize. I think Brother Jerry graduated from kindergarten. So we sure do appreciate that. If we could get my sister to graduate from kindergarten, we'll be okay. But she seems like she's just going to stay there. So, God bless you. Good to see the Ohio group. I can't see them, but they can see us. But good to see them. Good to have them watching in and all the streamers and the ones that are with us. We sure do appreciate you. We love you with the love of the Lord. If you'll turn your Bibles, we'll go to Revelation 6. We've got two services today. We'll try to pack in as much as we can, and then we will we'll have our little, at 1:15, we'll come back up here for the a little bit of practice on our percussion. So it was wonderful last time we had it, and it was really, really nice. We appreciate Brother Joe taking the time. He's pulling double duty today. He's doing both song services plus that. So, but he likes it. He likes to do stuff like that. We appreciate Brother Joe. We always all appreciate Brother Joe. So let's bow our heads before we get started. I know we all have things on our heart that we've had, even carrying through the week. But I want us to remember my buddy that comes to church here, Calvin. He was supposed to be here today. He said he was streaming in. So, but he's sick in his body. He's been diagnosed with a disease that's horrible. But you know what? It's just a name. God don't shake his legs at cancer or anything like that. He's a God that'll change. It changed, and our brothers, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but unless he wants to tell, but it's a serious disease that progresses over time, and it's not cancer, but we're going to hold him up in prayer. Amen. We've seen God work here in this building. We've seen him work through many, many things, and I believe we'll see him work one more time. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you told us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Father, we bring our petitions, Lord, that we're going to give them to you, Father. And you said, ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. So, Father, we ask all, not just one, but all diseases, sickness, spiritual blindness, Lord, backsliding, all the different things today. I pray that the word of God will push those demons back. And, Lord, we'll be able to see you more clear. Father, forgive us of our faults and our mistakes that we make against you. Lord, clear us, clean us, wash us with the water of the word today, Father. Be with the ones that are traveling, Anna, Richard, different ones, Lord, and bring them back home safe. And bless each one here today, Father. Give us strength for this journey that we're continuing on, and they will continue until you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Revelation 6, verse 5. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld a little black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Matthew 24, For nations, this is Jesus speaking, for nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We see that going on now. Right. There shall be famine and pestilence, earthquakes in many places. All these are not sorrow. It's the beginning of sorrows. You may be seated in the Lord and his blessing to the reading of the word. The beginning of sorrows. All right? And we looked and we, on the first and second seal, what we're doing now is we're looking at God. We're looking at God progress up to today. All right? Today is what we want to get to, but we haven't got to today yet. All right? But we are looking at, and I love Brother Joe. He always has the vision, same with me, is we need to look and see. Don't dwell on what we've done, but look and see what we've done. But look at what God's doing and what he's going to do in the furtherment of our journey. All right? Because that's a walk. That's not God that's just going to help you in one instant and then he's not going to help you anymore. No, he helped you when he started. He helped you while you're here. And he's going to help you on further in your Christian experience. All right? And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a Christian experience that is wholesome, that's fresh, I want to say it's fun. It's fun. You say, oh, no, we got to just do this, and we got to do this, and we're supposed to read this, and we're supposed to read that. Well, you read everything else.
Amen.
Well, I ain't got time to. Yeah, you got time to. Yeah, you got time to. Come on, people. You got time. Okay? I believe it will. So we look at the Word of God. And just back up just for a minute in what we were talking about the other day, Wednesday, that the reason we are preaching so much in the realm of the seals is because false doctrine will destroy your life if you let it. All right? Now, we talked about the few things that it destroyed. False doctrine destroys your discernment. It destroys your revelation. You can't get revelation from a false doctrine.
Amen.
It destroys your spiritual life. It destroys your intimacy with God, and because false doctrine is adultery to God.
Right.
False doctrine is how everybody gets in trouble, how Israel got in trouble. They didn't go... Let me just be plain. God said you went whoring, which meant you took yourself, gave yourself to another person. In other words, it was idols. It was idolatry. They give themselves to the Hivites and Jebusites and the websites and all those other sites. Well, let's bring it to today. So false doctrine then is adultery to God, and he hates that. He puts us away if we continue in that. But if we're born again of the Spirit of God to bring the Word back into power, what happens? Truth brings clearer understanding of God. That's what we want. He is a very complex person.
Amen.
How can you figure out somebody that don't ever have an end, that never had a beginning, never was old, never was sick? Now, we know he immorphed into flesh down here and he was sick. Jesus. But God never was sick. God never did have a fever. He never had those things. But he's give us a connection, which is the Lord Jesus. So he can feel our infirmities. All right, everybody with me? Just to try to walk us back up to this. And that's why that we harp so much of the Word being in power, not so much signs and wonders follow the Word being in power.
Right.
All right? I want to see healings. I want to see miracles. But without the Word of God, God only works in his Word and nothing else.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
But he works in his Word by listening to true teaching and not false doctrine.
Right.
That's why the seals had to open. The seals, as I said before, the seals was not given just for knowledge, just for us to know more than somebody else, or for us to open up a door that never was open, and we know so much because we're revelated message believers that the seals are open to now, and and we know more than you do. No, that's the devil. If that's the attitude you got, that's the devil's attitude. Amen? Because what did the prophet God tell us? He said, revelation will humble you. True revelation will humble you. And if you had a revelation and it hadn't humbled you, you didn't get a revelation. It will humble you to know that God brought you out of something. Come on, brought you out of something and brought you into his light. He didn't have to do that. But he did it because he honors his word. And you came by the word. And as you come by the word, he has to, as we were talking last week about reading that book of Praying Life, there's lamentations that you can just take God and say, God, you said this right here. You said if we would do this, you would do this. Now, he may not do it when we want him to do it. He wants to do it when he wants to do it. But we've got to initiate, as somebody was saying about healing. You got to claim your healing before you can be healed. Go ahead and claim it. And didn't Brother Brown tell us that Abraham, that when God told him he's going to have a child, he said he was already getting prepared to have the child, but he had to wait 25 years to get it. All right, so same way with us. And if we don't get something from God, as I said before, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get in your life. You ask God something, he says no, or he shuts the door, and you're like, well, God, that's what I wanted. Well, guess what? That's what you wanted. And God knows if he give it to you, what would happen. So he says, no, you need to go do something else. Dig a little deeper in the word of God. Pray a little bit more. Study a little bit more. And you'll find yourself in the word of God. Okay? So the word in power, it takes care of all the other deceptions that we've been in. That's why it took a prophet to come back in the end time. It took God to come through that prophet and to preach the unadulterated word of God again back in power like it was in the first church age. All right? And also, there's one other thing that we get. We get authority. All right? We get authority when we get the word of God correct and the word of God back in power in our life. We gain authority. Okay? God's not going to give the keys to his car to a five-year-old. You're not either. Amen? He's going to give the keys to someone that has proved themselves that they can drive or that they can do X, Y, Z, right? Everybody with me? Right. That's the way God works. If you can see how you work and how your life works, as a teenager, there's things you can do and can't do. There's things that you can as a law that you can do, but you can't do. Why? Because of the maturity factor. Maybe a lot of wrecks if we give 10-year-olds car keys. There's enough at 16. But that's the way God works. So when he come to the opening of the seals, that brought the word back in power to where that a group of people, which is us today, a group of people can catch the mind of God, the literal mind of God. Today, we are speaking from the mind of God. Today, you are hearing from the mind of God. You are hearing yourself, God speaking to you, if that's what you believe. Okay? I truly believe that. Because that's the way he talks to us. He doesn't talk to us any other way. Amen? And also, word back in power defeats the enemy. And that's what we're looking at, to defeat the enemy. We're going to defeat him by what? We're not going to defeat him by out-quoting him. You can quote this message from all 1,100 sermons from front to back and die and go to hell. And be just as nasty and filthy inside as you ever was before. Even worse, because you have light, as we're going to read here in a minute, you have the light of the day, and it has become darkness to you. Because Jesus said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So we got to make sure that we've got these right. Seals is not just for knowledge. They're meant to prepare us to get out of here. They're here to purify a bride to get us out of this mess that we're in called the world. All right, is everybody with me so far? All right, we'll get into the seal here in just a second. But the first seal and the second seal, we know what those symbols were. We know what the horse riders are. We know where the powers come from. And there's one thing for sure, as we talked about Wednesday night, it will give you a character that's different even than just normal Christianity. Because what you're doing is now you're taking the Word of God back in power and you're using it in your life. God is now able to speak to you more than he's ever spoke to anybody else. Because remember, if there's a false doctrine, there's a spot there that he can't deal with. Amen? Everybody with me? And we'll see that in a minute because, listen, Luther and Wesley were part of the restoration of the Word of God. Is that right? Say amen. But they did not come to fully restore the Word. They were reformers. Now, what is a reformer? It's somebody that can bring you to a certain spot, but he can't take you any further. Okay? Like Alcoholics Anonymous and all these different things and you know, drug intervention and all that. They can take you to a certain spot. They can teach you things. They can teach you repetition and give you something for it. But they can't take that spirit that made you do that out. And that's what the reformer is. The reformer, they bring them, they try to bring people out, but they can't get them all the way out. They get them born again. They get them, you know, the Word of God, but not the Word of God in power like today. Everybody okay with that? All right? And that's what's going to happen. We'll see that. And think in your mind. Now, remember, this is a start of restoration. Because, listen, if you're an alcoholic, Alcoholics Anonymous says you will be one for the rest of your life. You got to keep that in your head. Not in this church.
That's right.
This is not a rehab facility.
Right.
This is a restoration facility.
Amen.
This is a facility that gets rid of things.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
Because we've seen alcoholics. We've seen people that had drug addiction and different things come to the message of the hour. Well, when that unclean spirit went out, it didn't come back.
Right.
It went out and it stayed out.
Right.
We don't, and you know, I've been in the message a long time. I've seen people that said they got a confession and a profession and then they would go back out. But I have seen hundreds of people that I know that have been alcoholics, drug addicts, that never wavered, never faltered because the Holy Ghost took that out of them.
Amen.
As Brother Tom Fallbush always said, right? Brother Tom is Brother Donnie's dad, and some of you may remember him, some of you not. He was a deacon here in church. And he said, Lord, I want you to take the need and the desire. He was a smoker. His wife was a smoker. He said, I want you to take the need and the desire of this away from me. And he did. But that's the way you ought to look at it. Lord, take away the need and the desire because it is a drug. Smoking's just as bad as drinking. Okay? So it's all vices that we have to get rid of. But so God started in this. Okay, if y'all don't mind, put that chart up there, please. God started, and in the middle church age, which is the fourth church age, all right? In the fourth church age, the seed went into the ground. There was not a lot of light. There was not a lot of churches everywhere. People were hiding to keep from dying. But that was God starting a restoration. I will restore.
Amen.
All right? But remember, it comes under the first two church ages under a reformers. They reformed the people out of, so far out of the Catholic Church, but couldn't get it all the way out. All right? So now, remember, we're not under a reformer today. Like I said before, we're not under something that God winks at our ignorance if like Luther smokes a pipe and drinks a beer and talks about God. That was in his age. That won't work today. Why? Because we're out of that reformer age. We're into the restoration of the Word back in power as it was in the first church age. Then we're supposed to come to a place to where the seals brings us to a higher order, to something that is something that no one's ever been before. Ever. Nobody's ever. Brother Branham said, look, I have. Now look at a man that stands in 1963. He said, I've seen thousands of healings. Many people dead raised. Many limbs restored. Many eyeballs restored. I've seen all that. He said, but I've never worked in a greater realm than he did that week because God was opening the pure word of God to him without so much of sensation. Because it was the new birth coming back in power, folks. Okay, the new birth is good, but I want the new birth plus. Plus, I'm here to get plus today. I'm not here to get a new birth. I already got that. I need a refilling. I need something to what? Build my character, help my character. And as we talked about last Wednesday, what Satan does, he got in the church. He put the tree of knowledge of good and evil into the church. The tree of life was there. Remember, I read the quote, and I took it out today. But the vines were intertwined.
Right.
All right? And then I've got one I'm saving for from the Laodicean church age. Brother Ram said, now we come over to the last church age, and we're going to start pulling that tree apart. Well, now what's pulling the tree apart? The word of God is what's pulling the tree apart. It's us realizing that the fruit is beginning to mature on the vine, and if we're all supposed to be wheat, and you see a cucklebur on the end of one, we know what that is. That's what we're saying, how to live. Our conduct, our character. Listen, there is no time that you're going to be totally sinless. No time. Because you're in a body. Now, when we lay you to rest and you go over in another dimension, yes, but not here. We will always have a sticky nature. Because of, like we said Wednesday night, we are now beginning in a minute. When we get finished with these, when we take a rapture, we're going to talk about before we take a rapture. So you're going to have to put your thinking cap on. Because the fourth seal, now that, see the fourth seal at the top? That's the sixth and seventh church age. We take a rapture after that. Well, there's three more seals left. There's seal 5, 6, and 7. Well, seal 5, 6, and 7 is going to tell us how we're going to do this. Because if the rapture takes place on the fourth seal, I read it, where Brother Brown says, and how do we know that? There's only four horse riders. There's only four lion, ox, man, and eagle. There's only four combat beasts. Well, when you get to the fifth seal, it doesn't speak of a combat beast. Souls under the altar. You get to the sixth, you're talking about two witnesses that are what? We're not here when those two witnesses are here.
Amen.
Right? Then the seventh seal is Christ himself coming back to earth to claim his own. And who is his own? We are his own. All right? So everybody with me. So now we got to get the word back in power. That's what the seals are for. And then like I said before, the virtues are all tied to the seals. If you'll just sit and meditate on God, you can see how those seals open up the statue of a perfect man. Because it'll tell you got iniquity in your life. You need some knowledge. You need some temperance. You need some patience. You need godliness. You need some brotherly kindness. Because these are adds. Add to your faith virtue. Your virtue knowledge. Your knowledge temperance. It's good to sit here and quote this. But I'm going to tell you something. The man that put that in the Bible, his name was Peter. Was he not changed by that? Yes, he was. God, he changed him so much, God gave him the keys to the kingdom. But remember, he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom before Peter was born again. Think about that. So God knew what he was going to do and went ahead and said, here, Peter, you're going to need this. Because you're going to open up something that nobody else is going to open. Paul's not going to open it. You're going to open it, Peter, because you were the most vilest one. I prayed for you. He didn't say he prayed for John and the rest of them. He said, Peter, I prayed for you. He said, I knew Satan was going to sift you like the wheat. I knew that. But you know why he protected that? So Peter could write that. Take it, Peter. Add to your faith, virtue. Your virtue, knowledge. Your knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. That man needed every one of them when he was with Jesus. Cut the ear off of a, he was always wanting ready to fight, pull a sword, but that's not brotherly kindness. That's not like patience. Peter had no patience. Until he got the Holy Ghost, and he saw that he needed patience, so he cried out for patience. And then when he wrote this, he could write this because he said, I didn't have no patience. I didn't have no virtue. I didn't have no knowledge. But now that I got it, I want you to have it. And he called it the divine nature of God. That's what he didn't have. That's what today, if you're not born again, you do not have the divine nature of God in your soul to lead you anywhere. Amen. Now, you may be in the process of it. You may be in justification or sanctification. But you need the Holy Ghost to clean you out so that the things I used to do, I do them no more. I love that song. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Why? Because we're a new person. A new creature. Everybody with me? So the seals were given to do one thing to me. Clean us up. Sanctify us. Not sanctify us like the first sanctification. That should be already finished. Okay? If you're born again today, you have no unclean spirit in your soul. Your soul is God. See, that's the great mystery of the end time. That's the great mystery of the devil, because the devil used to own all of us. Amen. Amen? And then there's one day you didn't do his beck and call. He came and brought a beer and you said no thanks. He came and brought a cigarette, you said no thanks. He came and brought you the world. He said, and we said, no thanks. He said, well, you used to. Things I used to do, I do them no more. That's all you got to do is tell the devil, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's what you got to do. Say, look, I don't do those things no more. Because if we don't get our walk right first, you can forget the seals. Okay? If you don't get your walk right first, I'm talking about purity in your heart. Purity in the things you do. Sure, we have thoughts running through our mind that we cannot help. Pray for me. Okay? But when we used to let it overcome us, now we overcome it. All right? But the seals, though, is to bring a group of people to such a sanctification that it's going to change our body. So clean us up, even in our memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. We were talking back there a little bit ago. I sure wish that I got the Holy Ghost in my brain. But God didn't want it that way. God wanted the prophet to preach the greatest battle that was ever fought. God wanted to preach a thinking man's filter. So he gave the prophet the ability to tell us the three circles that we're built of. Number one in the middle is either faith or doubt. Second is memory, reason, conscience, effect. Sorry, Luis. Memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, and imagination. Brother Luis said that was the five hardest ones to interpret, and I go through them just as fast as I can. So I'm sorry. I appreciate Brother Luis. Amen. He's a big help to me. Yes. All of y'all are a big help to me. Amen. I ain't above nothing, folks. I learn from y'all every day. Some good, some bad. So anyway, sanctification. So God is here to sanctify an end time bride. So, and clean her up. Clean her up and set her aside. What? We must be set aside for service so that the head himself can come. Because remember, we're going to meet him in the air physically. But the prophet said the seventh seal was bringing Christ back to the earth. Well, where's he bringing him to the earth at? In you. And me and you, that's where he's coming back to. Amen. And when he comes back in his fullness, he's going to carry us and we're going to meet in the air with the physical man. Everybody with me? He now is in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, all right, for some that need it. But then the Son of Man dispensation is that he's going to make your flesh like his flesh. Right. Amen. Come on. A glorified body is what he's standing in right now.
That's right. Amen.
Which means his body was mortal at one time. Now it's immortal. Now, how did he get to that? He was the Word. Do you know he raised, Brother Bram said he raised on one scripture of a backslid preacher?
Right.
I'll not leave your soul in hell or suffer my Holy One to see corruption.
Right.
Amen? That's what he raised on one scripture. Listen, folks, we're going to get out of here on one scripture.
Right.
We, which are alive and remain.
Amen.
We, all that's so simple. We, which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, will not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound. It's sounding right now. It's sounding right now. Don't wait for one. It's here now. This is the trumpet sounding today. All right? All around the world, this message in a pure heart to a pure group of people is the trumpet and the thunder that's going to wake the bride up. It's got to wake us up in our spiritual realm. But it's going to wake them up from that spiritual realm into this natural realm.
Right.
I just believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
If you don't, then we're just going to keep going and doing funerals and dying and going over here, you know, just falling apart and all that. But we're not going to. Somebody's going to stand here.
Yes.
And say, you know, even say, God, I don't understand it all. But what I've got, help me to use it.
Yes.
What I've got to this point, help me to use it, Lord.
Right.
Talk to him like the man said in the book. Talk to him like he's, and Dad's always said that. And I try to do that. All, you don't have to say these and thous and those. And no, talk to him like you're talking to a friend.
Right.
Say, hey, God,
right.
I need something. I know you're here. I know you're here. Well, if he's here, he'll do something for you. Ask and you shall receive. Sometimes we don't ask. Ask out loud. Amen? So now watch. I want to read this again because this is important. When Brother Brown tells us and he talks about sanctification, and this would be the first step, the baby form of sanctification. When you come out of the world and you still got these unclean spirits inside of you, yes, you were unclean. Yes, you were dirty. Yes, you were filthy. Yes, you were going to hell. Okay, did I answer enough questions to that? Okay, you didn't come here with a silver spoon in your mouth. You needed a new birth. That's the first doctrine Jesus told. And said, ye must, he didn't say you might need to be, ye must be born again. So when you come to a place to where God gives you a new spirit, you say, God, I want to be so sanctified. I don't want to do these things anymore. That wasn't his spirit. This is in Ezekiel. That was your spirit. Then I'll put my spirit in you. I'll give you a new spirit, then I'll put my spirit in you. All right, now hold on a minute. Now, we know what that is. Now watch. He said many times you get a new spirit and think you've got the Holy Spirit and trusting upon emotions and signs and things when your life doesn't pivot up to that. That's what I mean. If we don't have our life straight, you can forget about, don't sit here and quotes to me and you're living like a hound dog. That's what Brother Claude always said, living a hound dog life. Okay? If you want to talk to me about the Word of God, that's fine. I'm not going to cut you off, but if I catch you out doing something that you're not supposed to do, and I don't have to be there. God can be there and tell me about it. Not tell me about it like you think, but bring it out in the Word. How many times has God done that? Many, many times you've had stuff on your things on your heart, and you don't call me about it. But God will bring it out over the pulpit. Calvin said the other day that he had a question answered just by what we were speaking. That's the way God works. So when your life doesn't pivot up to that, now that's just a little raw, but remember it's the truth. And many people, that spirit, that new spirit, God had to give you a new spirit to get along with his spirit. All right, hold on a minute. Now let's bring it up to what we've been talking about, the sanctification in the seals. That's the same thing. Because even though we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our soul, we still have spirits motivating us.
Amen.
Well, pray for me.
Amen.
And that's what we got to get rid of. That's what God's got to get rid of. But he only gets rid of that. Listen to this. There's only one way you can get rid of it. It's by revelation. Not by somebody laying hands. Not by seeing a star, seeing a cloud, seeing a this, or seeing. Satan can give you every bit of that. But a revelation, the prophet of God said, is personally to you. It's something down inside that has changed you that you said, man, if you've never had that moment, you need to have one. A moment where you say, God, I did that. And I'm sorry. And help me do it. And you're going to see, listen, folks, and I don't preach a lot on spirits, and a lot of preachers do, but we all got them. You brought some with you today, and as Brother Jeffrey said, we hope we're going to get rid of them as we go out the door, all right? And I don't want you to just hang them up somewhere. We want them obliterated, because if you hang it up, it'll be on somebody else as they come back in. But we all have spirits that we deal with, right? But now, to be overcome by spirit, now Brother Brown says, now remember the Dr. Ramsey, the preacher, that just says, I ain't going to do this no more. I'm going to just go out and drink beer, and I'm not preaching anymore. Brother Brown said God took that soldier home because he got a spirit on him. And thank God that Brother Brown also told us, talked about suicide and things like that, how that a demon spirit can get in your spirit and make you go crazy as a human being, take your own life, and still be born again.
Right.
Now, see, that's contrary to a lot of denominations. A Baptist won't even do a funeral for somebody that's killed theirself. Because they said that's the unpardonable sin. There's no reason. It's just, I'm sorry, but that's the way they preach it.
Amen.
But thank God we got a prophet. He tried 3 times to kill himself. And he told us about it.
Right.
Amen? And you know what? He didn't think about it. He was going to do it because he had got a spirit on him, and he was a prophet. He was a born-again believer. Well, praise the Lord anyway. So what we're doing now is we're working on that unclean spirit in our memory, our reasoning, our consciousness, affection, and imagination. We're working in those realms now to where Satan cannot get to your soul if you're born again. You're sealed, just like this. You're sealed in, okay? But we've got that second realm of man that we've got to deal with, and we deal with that every day. And listen, that's Satan's playground. Because he has access by the fall through your flesh. Don't bother your flesh, folks. You're motivated by spirits.
Right.
And your motor nerves is what, you take my spirit out of me, I can't move.
Right.
So this flesh is not, listen, you say, well, if I can get my flesh in line. No, you get that middleman in line first.
Right.
This thing right here only does what the middleman tells it to do.
Right.
All right? So when we got the middleman born again, we still got to deal with the flesh man or the memory reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination. That's the things we have to deal with. And no man has ever dealt with it before. I'm talking about Brother Branham. He brings that to the forefront, and he deals with it, service upon service upon service, how that we're a 3-room house. All right? How that we're got to take, by justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we've got to come to the new birth by those 3 processes,
right.
All right? Water, blood, and life. So now when we come to the opening of the seals, though, it's a higher form of that. We've got to go back into that realm and let God start working on our nature.
Right.
All right? Working on our nature every day, our everyday nature. But he gives you a new, watch, God has to give you a new spirit. And he calls it nature. God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature, so you can get along with his spirit when it comes. Okay? That means it's got to tear us down. We got to be able to accept his spirit and get rid of ours. But you know where that new spirit comes from? It comes from the Word of God. Because when you got born again, you didn't. Now, some of you may have just come right straight out of the world, right into the message or whatever you want to say, but you got justified somewhere down the line. You had to get your old sins forgiven. You had to get those unclean spirits to where they would be motivated by the Word of God you hear, because that's what happened to me. I was a rank sinner, folks. For those of you that didn't know my past, I was a rank sinner for up until I was 39 years old. But I could quote you the message back and forth. See, I saw it. I looked at it. But it wasn't inside of me. Okay? And I knew the things I'd done. But I knew that when I come to a place to where I didn't want to, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God called me that day and said, "Hey, dummy, I'm going to thump you on the head here. I'm going to give you a heart attack. And let's see how you feel." You say, "Oh, God do that?" Well, we can say God turns the devil loose on us, but I like to think God did some work. I like to think God had his hand on his own kids. I just believe that, okay? Because we are his children, all right? So then all that happened with the, you know, I said, "God, if this is you, take that pressure off of me." And I mean, immediately, my arm was numb. I was on the back dock of the company that I owned, and I said, "God, if this is you," and it happened to be on a Wednesday night. God's timing is just really perfect. Amen. He didn't do that on Thursday so I could wait till Friday or Saturday and the devil could talk me out of it. Hello, somebody. It was Wednesday. So when I come into church Wednesday that night, the building didn't fall down. Sat right there about where Jeffrey's sitting. And I said, "God, this is it." I said, "If you'll save my soul," I said, all that stuff, I'm just going to leave it. Amen. But I knew I had a lot of spirits that I needed to get out. Yep. And I knew them. Folks, you know your demons. Yeah. Come on. You know them. Yeah. They have names. Right. Most all of them are Wade of mine. Well, maybe yours too. I don't know. No laughing in Ohio. But I knew I had them. And there was a consciousness that I needed to get rid of them. See, I lived 20-something years and I loved them things. I loved them devils. Cursing, chewing tobacco, all that kind of junk that I used to do. But I said, "Lord, I know the steps I got to go through, because I was taught that way by this church." Amen. I was not taught that. See, I could have said, "Well, man, I'm born again now. God took that away from me on the back dock there, and I'm ready to go. Just let me start preaching." No, come back with a shameful face, and you start humble. Let me tell you how God works. My wife had been coming to church here for 20-something years while I was not. I stayed at home. The very time I started coming back to this church, she left this church and started going to a Baptist church. That's how God works. Why? I know why now. Then I didn't. I said, "God, I'm coming back. I'm here." She's been coming here for 20-something years. Now she's gone. You know why? She had to find out for herself. She went out there and went to that Baptist church. And I'll tell you how strong it is, folks. She said, "I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." They said, "You can't be a member of this church unless you're rebaptized in the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." That's how important they think of their... Don't tell me they say, "Oh, it's just, you know, you do it the way you want to do it, we'll do it." No. She had to be rebaptized to become in fellowship with the Baptist church. She had to be rebaptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? Which she did, because she started going there 2.5 years. Well, here I'm sitting by myself now. God's got a sense of humor. He knows how to mold you real quick, too. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. He'll help, he will do something in your life to make you stand on your own. You're going to have to stand on your own. Sure, you want your wife to be with you. Sure, you want your kids to be with you. But you got to stand alone because you've got to be the intercessor. The intercessor is going to come into you and then start interceding for the other people. I couldn't pray for June. If I was out in the world, I didn't pray. But if I would have prayed, what would I have prayed? God, don't let her do that. And God's like, what about you? So let's get you figured out first. Let's get me figured out first. Then we can put our petition to God and then stand with this new spirit that's now motivating us now, even though now we have Christ's spirit in our soul by the new birth. There is another groaning that comes in that realm of memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, and imagination that groans now out of the middle man, the very center of the man, that groans outward for the things of God. Exactly. Wanting your family in and calling their name, and you want your wife and your kids and all that, call their name. They have a name. It makes it personal. I don't just say, God save my kids. Call their name.
Amen.
Call their name out to God.
Amen.
We cry out to him, don't we?
Right.
I don't know why I'm doing this, but we're okay. But that's the way I got. Then I received the Holy Ghost 6 or 8 months later. I didn't just come jumping right in and think, God bless God, I got it. No. I knew what I needed to do, though. I got in church. I started reading my Bible. I threw away all the junk that was junk. Started cleaning up my house first. Right, Jim? Started cleaning up my house first, all the garbage that I had in there, get rid of it that day. And then I started saying, God, I need you. See, because I was taught, I did have a new spirit. I had a spirit that wanted to come to church now. Well, the devil wants to come to church. We brought him with him today, with us today. But we're not letting him motivate us. Maybe he's making us sleepy, but he's not motivating us to go out the door. And I hate to say this, but you look at a congregation, and you look across a congregation, and you see the congregation sitting like you are today, and you take that the position that everybody's born again and everybody wants to be here, and maybe the kids are not. They're like, you know, God will get you, don't worry. God will get you. Don't worry. He got us, didn't he? We were kids at one time too.
Amen.
But see, then you look and you see that this is how spirits work. Let me tell you, I want you to watch them. Number one, they'll make you sleepy. They'll make your mind drift. They'll make you say things in your head that you shouldn't be saying. Why? Because I did it. Okay? Because I used to have to come to church on Christmas and Easter and Mama's Day because Mama called me and shamed me so much. So, but I'm glad she did because, you know, it builds a character. Okay? Respect your mom and dad. But you look out through a congregation, you do today, and if I were to have all of you stand to your feet and tell you we're going to take communion right now. 10 or 12 of y'all will hit the door. Why? That spirit won't allow you to do that. You'll tell me what you got inside of you immediately. Don't get quiet on me. That's an institution that God said we must do. Foot washing, communion, water baptism. Those are the three things he asked us to do. Three.
Amen.
Because I did the same thing. I'd come and I'd be sitting a service, and they said, well, he's here today, and, well, praise the Lord, we're going to take communion. Well, hit the door. because that spirit inside of me was uncomfortable.
Amen.
Uncomfortable. Everybody with me? That's the spirit we got to get rid of. Because, see, it shows who we are. One more time. Those are three institutions he told us we needed to do to be a Christian. We would want to do these. Not have to. We would want to participate because God himself told us. Now, if you've got God himself in your heart, like Brother Brown said, you can't wait for the doors of the church to open. But you can't wait for us to take communion and foot washing and all the ordinances that we do. See, that exposes us. But what exposes us? The Word's what exposes us. Not me saying we're going to take communion, because we're going to take communion next Sunday, whether you're 10 people are here or 100. We're taking communion. Because God told us. And I had a preacher friend of mine. He asked one time, he said, how long, when you take communion? Well, Dad said, we took communion every first Sunday of every month for as long as I remember. We'd have to adjust it back and forth because of different things. And he said, well, we only take communion when I feel the congregation is ready. I said, we'd never take communion. When I felt all of us, I'm talking about me. When we felt all of us were just squeaky clean and everything's good and we've got a halo around us and you know, angels are sitting on our shoulders. And no, we take communion to get rid of them. Stay in this building and see what God will do for you.
Amen.
Don't run away from God.
Right.
Don't run away from the Spirit of God. If it feels contrary, ask him, say, God, if this is you, show me.
That's right.
And he'll show you. He might not show anybody else, but he'll show you
right.
Where you're at with God. Because we got to know where, Brother Brown said, we can know where we're at with God at any time.
Right.
Any time.
Amen.
I mean, if you're nervous about these things, what's going to happen if God walks through that door?
Right.
And we would shake in our shoes if he walked through the door. But I know one thing's for sure. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And if I let that petition be in front of me, I can walk in front of God.
Right.
The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, is that throne empty? There's somebody sitting on that throne.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
So come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't know how I got off on that, but everybody's got their own journey, but you got to go through a journey.
Right.
You've got to come to a place that you know that you know that you know. You may not feel like coming to church. Come anyway.
Right.
You think God gives you a headache on Monday morning? No, you're all at work. He'll give you one on Sunday morning. Come on to church anyway.
Right.
Make an effort. Quit giving the devil all the credit.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
See, that's the honing part that we got to go through. Even though we're born again, there is a honing that we have to have that so that that headstone can sit down on what? Himself. There's only one God. There's not two or three. He's coming after himself in another form called a bride. And it's got to fit just like that thing sits right down. It's got to fit perfect. He's not going to fit on something that's imperfect.
Amen.
That's why the revealing of the seals has got to be. You got to see it's not just symbols. And it's not just a lion, ox, man, and eagle and all the symbols. And that's a really pretty drawing.
Right.
But that drawing has got to have something to do with right here.
Exactly.
That's for illustration purposes only. And it does help. Because when you talk about the rapture taking place on the fourth seal, you go all over into the fourth church age. That's not true. You see how it's sectioned out. Brother Branham sectioned them out for us. And we're coming here, we're talking about the third seal if we ever get to it. We've been in it, but I wanted to back up just a little bit today. But you look at the man anointing. That man anointing was in that fifth and sixth age, and we read it. We'll read it on through here. We'll continue. Let's continue through. Now, here's the two trees. The two trees were intertwined from the Garden of Eden to today, and they're intertwined with each other. But here in the end time, what's going to happen? They've got to be pulled away by a supernatural happening. Supernatural happening in a bride to pull that thing apart. That's why it's so close to deceive the very elect. Close. So let's look real quick, just right here, just for about 10 more minutes. Let's get into some of these symbols. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, what is the third beast? The man anointing. All right? And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. Now, this is the first church, first seal that someone else speaks besides the beast. All right? And I'm going to tell you why. If I don't tell you today, this morning, I'll tell you this afternoon. Because what happened is, God knew he had to allow the word of God to be eat down to this church age.
Amen.
Okay? Because of dogma, creeds, Catholic Church, whatever you want to call it. But he knew to get us from here to here, to get the full manifestation of the word, he's going to have to build it back up again.
Amen.
By the word, the Holy Ghost anointing, or the stimulation of revelation, starting in the fifth church age all the way up to today. So that's why he stood on the scene. The Lamb spoke up and said, you're not going to hurt my people no more.
Amen.
I've allowed you to kill, 60-something million, 68 million of my followers. But that's because I declared that I will restore. So to restore something, I had to let something fall on the ground. He even said himself. He said a corn of wheat must fall in the ground. If it died, it abideth alone.
Right.
But if you put it in the ground, it'll bring forth much fruit, and that's what he did here.
Right.
So he had to do it because he can't go outside of his word. But he also said, now look, I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Then we know that nations shall rise against nations. We see that now. We see all these things, but now listen. We've not had famines and pestilence. We're having earthquakes now. You see, we have several earthquakes in Arkansas, I think, the other day. We worry about the San Andreas fault, but there's one in Mississippi.
Right.
A big one.
Yep.
Remember, Brother Brown said there'd be tidal waves all the way to the Mississippi. Why? Because it's just going to tear this place apart. You better just get under the wings of God.
Amen.
The only shelter there is the wings of the mother.
Exactly.
Amen. So now look, black. We look at the black horse. He got on a black horse, and he had a pair of balances in his hand. And we know that Brother Brown tells us what he does when he rides. But let's look at this. I studied a little bit this morning, a little more on that black. Now remember, darkness is not created. Darkness is an absence of light.
Amen.
Right? Einstein proved that. So God didn't create darkness, and of course the Bible tells y'all, but he didn't create as in saying, I'm going to have this right here to be dark, because that's Lucifer. That's the darkness. False doctrine is the darkest thing you can ever have.
Right.
Now watch. We'll show you in the Bible just a minute what we're looking at here. With the black horse. Now watch. It's the color. It's the acronymic value of minimum lightness. It occurs when an object absorbs all or nearly all visible light wavelengths. Absorbs. And reflects none. Because what is a moon? The moon is a reflection of the sun. All right? Because I'm going to read you something in a minute. Because what are we? We're the moon. The bride is characterized by the moon. Okay? Okay? We live off his light. Sure, we have our own light. I know that. It's the light inside. But remember, in the Bible, the moon represents the bride or the church. All right? Everybody with me? Because it reflects light. The total or near total absence of light reaching the eye. It's not that it's not there. It just don't get to your eyes. Jesus said, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. But if therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? He was looking at the Pharisees and he said, you think you've got light. And you're true. You have written word light. But it's darkness to you. In other words, it's going to put you in hell. You think it's going to put you in heaven, but it's going to put you in hell. What about today? If that was deceiving, what about today? Today's the most deceiving age, even worse than then. Because Jesus is one person then. He's hid in a bride now. So if you think you've got light and you live in darkness, Jesus said, how great is that? Why? Because it's the greatest deception there ever has been. There's your deception of, we know it's a man age. We know that we're going to fix and start having cars and telephones and telegraph and written word and printing presses and all the things for agriculture and all this stuff. It's called the age of enlightenment or the industrial age. It just looks like that we're just going to prosper so well. But it becomes darkness because more denominations are formed in the fifth and sixth church age than ever before that are named denominations. Because you're going to look in the fourth seal when we get to it, that pale horse, his name is death. It's finally been exposed so much that it names that. That is death. It started to death way back over here in that white righteous church. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Right. It's talking about religious people. Because listen, a sinner is just dark. Okay?
Right.
But Jesus said, if that light in you be darkness, in other words, you think you got light, you think you got the new birth, and live like a hound dog, then that's deception. And it's the greatest deception in this age that we've ever seen. We see people that's been in this message 30 and 40 years, preach behind the pulpit, not this one, but preach behind the pulpit, and then go out and live like a dog, get caught in adultery, and then just turn the message down. Most of them now just turn it down and walk off. They never got born again. They only got an anointing of this last age. Go back and read Anointed Ones at the End Time.
Amen.
The true anointing. Think about that brother up in North Carolina. How many people he married in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people he buried under the anointing of this message that you'll rise again, that you'll go in the sixth dimension, and that body's going to resurrect. And then he's now turned the message down.
Right.
You see how that influenced, though? God can get his work done even through false people. Because that's the age. Anointed ones at the end time. They are anointed by the true Holy Ghost. And behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness to people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So the age of enlightenment. The reason I bring this out is, as you watch, we think this is light. Because we got electricity. We got a lot of things during this time. But what did it do? It centered on the idea that reason, memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, centered, not Christ-centered, not centered on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, but centered on the idea that reason is the primary source of authority and legitimacy. This movement advocated such ideals as liberty, progress, tolerance, fraternity, constitutional government, and separation of church and state. The Enlightenment was marked by an emphasis on the scientific and reductionism, along with increased questioning of religious orthodoxy. In other words, they took science instead of the Word of God. We think, oh, that's great, because we got all, look at all of us sitting here now. We got air conditioning, we got cars, and cars kill more people than cancer. Yet it's just accepted that we drive a car, you know. The main theme of the Enlightenment was the primary of reason and scientific inquiry over traditional authority, superstition, and religious dogma. Thinkers of the 17th and 18th century championed human intellect, individualism, and empirical evidence as tools to improve society and secure individual liberties. And it did. And it did. But what got lost? You had a little bit of light. You had Luther. You had Wesley. So look at the black horse real quick, and we'll close right here. The black horse was what? Power in the people. That horse means a power. But absence of truth, because it looked like truth.
Amen.
Okay? And the pair of balances, which is economic control, and that's what we just read. The Enlightenment was economic control, manipulation, and famine. Amos 8, verse 11, "Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land," not a famine of bread. Listen, United States, we're not in a famine. If you can't get to Walmart, that's your problem. You need to get in your Laodicean car and go to Walmart and get your food. There's no famine in the United States. Sure, there are people that can't, that are dying of starvation, and I hate that.
Right.
But some of it is of their own choosing. I'm sorry, it is. But this is a land of opportunity. This is a land that you can get what you want if you really want it. And I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. When we've got it in 1,100 sermons, you've got it on your watch, you've got it on your phone, you can look up a quote in an instant, you can look up a verse in Scripture in an instant. Yet this is dark age. This is a dark age for religion. That dark age was, yeah, the fourth was a dark age, so they were killing 68 million people. But the greater darkness is having a little bit of light. Right here, I'll read this and then we'll stop. Brother Ramsey, look, all down through the years of redemption, since the foundation of the world, it's been hid under this seal. What's been hid? The true way God wants to work. Okay? And to expose the devil, tell us where he's at, right? And to bring the light of the word to the people that want the light of the word. Because I've got in here that we'll read it this afternoon where that the Bible tells us. Now look, Isaiah 60 tells us about the darkness. But Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah 20, talks about the sun being seven times bright and the moon being the same light as the sun, like in seven church ages. We'll see, we'll talk about that a little bit later. So there is true light here, but it's the darkest time. Brother Branham, I read it yesterday. He said, I put that last bit of light in. He said the angel darkened the whole earth out when he put it in the sky. He said, I put a little bit of light in. Praise God for a prophet that can put some light back in. It's been hid under this seal what's going to happen Now come look what it is. And so he opens the seal, a thunder blast, and the Lamb opens the seal. And we'll talk about this afternoon. Let's stand our feet. If y'all want to, let's wait till 1:30. No, come on, musicians, we'll sing a song. We can just gather back here at 1:30, go eat you a bite. And we'll start right here this afternoon. Start service at 3. But if 1:30 would be okay. 1:30. 1:30-ish, okay? All right? But you think about that. And now listen, every time I read that scripture, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? I think about me. Brother Boyd, we just got to start thinking about us. Oh, that's them old denominations out there. No, you're the biggest threat. You're the biggest threat to the God that ever was. Because you have light. You know the truth. But do we want to live in the truth? Do we understand that that darkness can be got rid of? We know how to get rid of it. Brother Brown said right here, it's been hid under this seal from the foundation of the world. How to get rid of these little things that bother us. These little things that so easily beset us. Paul said, let us run with patience this race. But there are some things that's going to beset us. He said to us. But get them, put them behind you. We got to start working on now. Work on now. Let's get our thing, let's get everything we got and make it right. And you know, June's kind of a lister. She likes to write lists. You know, I can visually see it, but she has to have lists. And I'm getting to where now I have to depend on her list because I get a little bit older. Amy, don't laugh. You'll get there soon. But you're already there? Okay. All right. Well, yeah, Jeffrey's like, To save face, I'm going to just barely nod just a little bit. But if you have to, I really enjoyed reading that book. I'm almost finished with it, from Paul Miller. And, you know, he writes down prayer cards. He writes down what he wants God to do for him. Because, you know, as human beings, we forget that. Maybe you ought to start writing down, God is my this okay. God is my this okay. And God, I haven't been straight with you. Amen. Don't worry about me. You got to be straight with him. I haven't been straight with you. I've had these attitudes that I've shunned taking communion. I've run away from the power of God. Because of pride, I don't wash people's feet. Well, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, you'll have no part with me. That's what he said. I'm just going to tell you what he said. He told Peter. It was pretty important for him to tell Peter that. Because then Peter could instill in us what? Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is the very top before the headstone hits, because God knew we'd have a problem with ourselves and with others. Amen. Well, pray for me. Exactly. We all do. And that's what we got to work on. Didn't Jesus say the top two commandments is what? Love your neighbors, you love yourself. Or love your brother, same as you love yourself. Can you really do that? No, I talk about my neighbor all the time. Have you ever went over and shook his hand and said, God bless you? Or her, said, God bless you? I got family that I live around, but I got two gay guys that live right across the road from me. And I have told them. And one of them does know kind of what we believe. He's actually the only one that's ever asked me directly. They all assume we are in a cult and we believe this man. But Mike came over there one day and he said, I just want you to tell me. He said, I've heard this and that and the other. He said, this is a gay man. He's gay. Gay. Been gay for 50 years. Got a wife, husband, whatever it is. But I've never seen them have affection for each other outside. It's always keeping inside. But anyway, so Mike says, well, just tell me what you believe, just in a nutshell. You know, that's the only, man, it's only our family that don't believe this message has never asked that before. But you know what? That man planted a seed. He can be saved, folks. There's only one thing that you can't be saved from, and that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Hey, man, is everybody with me? So we ain't throwing them. We ain't putting them in hell. I'd like to put them in heaven and let them figure out whether they want to be there or not. So same way with Mike. He had an honest heart. He said, I've heard everything. He said, just tell me. I spent a couple of hours standing outside telling him kind of the whole about the message, and he never turned it down. He never said, well, he said, but I've heard everything in the world. You never know. You never know. Just stop somebody and just stop. Spend 5 minutes with somebody. Come on, you can do that. Spend 5 minutes. If somebody's looking down and dreary and downtrodden, just say, why are you having a bad day? I know a Jesus. Oh, we're above that. We're in the seals. No, you're not. Not till you can do that. Not till you can love your brother as you love yourself. Sing a song.
Well, thy love and kindness is better than life. Thy love and kindness, oh, it's better than life. And my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name.
Sing it, sing.
And I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name.
You know why we lift our hands?
I lift.
You know why we lift our hands? That is the universal sign of surrender. You don't have to know Spanish. You don't know how to know French. You don't have to know any language. If you're in front of an army and you raise your hands up like this, you're surrendering. So that's what we're doing. When we lift our hands, we're surrendering who we are to Him. Say it to Him. As we take a short break, Lord, that we said something pleasing to you, Father. We feel that the Spirit moving in this church, Father, with different individuals, and I pray that, Lord, me first. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, help us all, Father. Bless the food downstairs as we are about to partake for just a few moments, Lord, and come back here, Lord, and do some practicing, Lord, and then we'll hear from you again, Father, at 3 o'clock. Lord, just again, sanctify the food, sanctify the people. Bless each one as we continue the service, Father, in Jesus' name. Thy loving kindness is better than life.